Okay. Tammy, say something because it's always your levels.
Hello, something.
Oh. Say something else.
Okay. Hi.
Oh, okay. All right. Love. Future Erin is really looking forward to editing this in a few weeks. Hey, welcome back. What's going on?
Here we are. Starting.
We're starting. We're trying to start.
All right.
Start again. In seriousness, before we jump into the next episode, I just want to say on behalf of all three of us how overwhelming it has been support-wise for this podcast. So when we got started, we recorded several episodes at once, and this is one of the first ones that we've had the opportunity to record since we actually went live back in February. And so just watching some of the numbers go up and getting comments from you guys and getting suggestions from you guys has been really cool, and it's deeply appreciated. I feel like I have no personality. The two of them are just staring at me right now
and talking. What you were saying,
I think
it's good stuff.
I think I maybe like started on too serious a note here.
No.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But 100% agree.
What she said. No personality.
And with,
I don't think
with contributions
that.
Like that, it's shocking that we don't have any more listeners than we do.
I 100% agree there's no personality.
Yeah. So thanks for the pity listen that we have no personality. Thanks a lot. girls, what's going on? It's been a while.
Yes.
It has been a while. And yeah, it's so awesome to like see all of the downloads that are happening. Like, this is real.
I know. Kind of stalkerishly watching Audio Boom every day and like, oh, we haven't had any downloads in the last 2 hours. We need a social media push.
I've, since this podcast started, I have binge listened. To King Falls, and just found out this morning that Sammy Stevens listened to our first episode.
Yes.
She was so excited.
She didn't know what that meant when we first found out.
No, I was not nearly as excited before.
Yes, we love us some podcasts. We deeply love King Falls and Kyle, Noah. You guys are awesome. Thank you for supporting our very first episode. It's a very big deal when somebody that you admire and you love the work that they do takes the time to support your art.
Oh, for sure.
And on that note, to Em and Christine on And That's Why We Drink podcast, we shouted you guys out on Twitter, but by the time this episode airs, it'll have been some time. So we just want to thank you again for your advice on the audio software and recording. What am I trying to say? The podcast kit that you guys suggested for better audio quality. Again, you guys are really successful, and you took the opportunity to respond to us and give us some advice, and we deeply, deeply appreciate that.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Love your show.
Thanks for listening.
Mystery House, though.
And that's it. That's all we've got. Thanks for listening. Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah, the end.
The end. No, just kidding.
What are we talking about today?
Okay, well, so I went a little bit rogue. Some of the episodes that we talked about that I would do some research on, I kind of started some cursory research and just wasn't really finding a whole lot on the one I really wanted to do. So I've backburnered that one. And when Kevin and I got back from Europe a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago, we ran into a friend down the street from my parents' house. So this episode's topic is courtesy of our friend Barry O'Reilly. Thank you, Barry, for the suggestion. That's been one of the really cool parts of doing this podcast is people are listening. People are suggesting their own. So I got some really great ones. My brother-in-law, Leo, suggested a cool one that I'm going to do on a future episode. So I'll wait and shout him out then. But that's been really fun is people are starting to suggest things that we haven't thought of on our own. So this one's courtesy of Barry. Thank you, Barry. And today we're going to talk about The Cure, as it's called in Ireland, or in other cultures, it's just the seventh son of the seventh son and the mysticism kind of included with that birth order.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I wouldn't tell you guys what
I
researched until
surprise.
We turn the mic on. Have you ever heard of this
at
all?
I have not.
I've heard it, but I don't know the significance of it.
Okay, so this is going to be brand new information.
Ooh, I'm going to learn something.
I had never heard it called The Cure. I had always heard like the seventh son of the seventh son, and like there's a lot of popular culture, pop culture references that it's tied into.
I've never heard of it.
But Barry's the one who called it The Cure, and he said that back home, so he's from Ireland, he's from the Republic, and there was somebody in like a neighboring county, I forget exactly the story that he said, but this man was the seventh son of the seventh son, and they called him The Cure, and like Barry's own mother would like seek out The Cure for various things. So it's like the superstition and the references are still very, very much alive.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just going to jump in. I have lots of notes. I apologize. This could be a little bit lengthy, but we'll just get started. So The Cure, or The Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, this is a concept regarding special powers given to such a son. So the seventh son of the seventh son has special powers. And then the seventh son must come from an unbroken line with no female siblings born in between and must in turn be born to a seventh son with no siblings, no female siblings in between. So it has to be seven boys in a row, and that seventh son has to have seven boys in a row. No girls in the middle. Oh, I think there could be girls after, but not in the middle. And so the number seven has a long history of mysticism and biblical references, such as the seven virtues, the seven deadly sins, and the 7 days of creation. Some people believe that the seventh son of the seventh son has special powers that are actually granted to him by God. So that's sort of the general theories behind this. But then I've also got it broken down by different countries and kind of like other topics that we've researched. We've seen it kind of varies country to country. So we'll start with Ireland, which is where my friend is from. In Ireland, the seventh son of the seventh son is known as a healer known as the cure, or sometimes called the charm. Yeah. And then according to my friend Barry, people will travel the country to meet with the cure. Go ahead.
Where you said that they know somebody who's a seventh son of a seventh son. Does he actually help heal? Did you get that much story from him?
I didn't get any like firm, like, oh yes, there was this ailment and this worked. But like, I know that Barry's own mother has like sought this person out.
By it. Wow.
Yeah. Like people will travel to go.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Kind of, like, is there anything specific, like any disease specific that you read about that are
it's all just like searching out a healer.
Yeah.
I wish, like, so Barry just mentioned this as like Kevin and I were in passing, stopped the car to kind of chat to him, and then we're going down the road, and I wish that I had taken more time to ask him more about that, because I kind of was like, oh, that's cool, and I like made a note. When I was trying to decide what I wanted to research, that just kept popping back in my head, and then I did some online research, so I didn't talk to Barry again, and I wish that I had.
Gotcha.
He's probably going to listen, and he's like, that's not even what I told you at all. Like, not accurate.
Sorry, Barry.
So apologies in advance to the entire O'Reilly family. Okay, so in the United States, according to a book called Travels Through the Northern Parts of the United States, which was published in 1808, the author was visiting the Newgate copper mine and prison and met an innkeeper who said there was in the surrounding hills a seventh son of a seventh son born with a caul on his head who can discern everything that lies in the depths and interior of the globe. Do you guys know what a caul is? You've never heard of a caul bearer? I've read about this in books, but this was the first time I saw it referenced in sort of like real life versus just fiction. A caul is a piece of membrane that covers a newborn's face or head at birth. It's harmless. It's just part of like the natural process of being born. But it can be removed immediately, and it's said to bring great luck. Like some people will say like, oh, you were a child born between worlds. And so like sometimes you'll have like superstitious power or supernatural powers, or you could be a mind reader. It's just a thing that happens, but it's a really small percentage that happens. And I mean, it's not dangerous.
I was born
to
with that, wasn't I?
Yeah. Absolutely, Amanda.
I'll have to tap into my 4-year-old memory and see if I can find it.
There's an American author named Jackson Pierce who uses folklore around the seventh son in her novel called Sisters Red. I haven't read it, but came across that. And then there's a ton of different references to like books and TV shows, but I think what we'll do is we'll just finish the last couple of countries and then I'll go through that stuff, because it's a pretty lengthy, like it may take me some time to get through all of that.
I'm surprised I knew so little about this since it seems pretty prevalent. Like
I've heard
the phrase, but I'm not in any kind of depth or like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, that's awesome. I've never even heard of it. Yeah, I'm excited.
I know. Now I want to find a seventh son.
I know, right?
It's a lot of money.
I'm going to Dublin next month. I'll let you know if I find one in Ireland.
Yeah. Maybe you could.
Maybe just ask random people.
Put a beacon out, or maybe
carry a sign.
Google Maps?
Yeah.
Pardon me. Can you drive me to the seventh son of the seventh son?
You call in to the podcast from overseas.
What would you ask?
I actually found a seventh son.
This is a live episode.
That's what FaceTime's for.
FaceTiming live from Dublin.
Exactly. What would you actually ask if you found one? What would you ask?
How many people have sought you out?
Yeah, and seriously.
What type of stuff do they ask you?
I want to know what you can cure.
Right. What type of stuff do you...
Would you heal my sinuses, please?
All you have to do is move to Ireland. You'd have no sinus trouble. Yeah, that's true. All the allergens would be gone.
The rain has patted them all down.
That's not wrong.
That's true.
So the answer is yes, he can cure my sinus.
Yes. So a short answer. Okay, Latin America has a completely different set of mythology with this that did show up in several different places, but I kind of tried to isolate it to where it made more sense. It's believed that the seventh son of a seventh son will be a werewolf. And to stop the curse, the newborn should be baptized in seven different churches.
Oh, my. Goodness.
Yeah, so there were actually a few references to being a werewolf and being the seventh son of a seventh son. Obviously, there's not, like, there's no proof, like, well, this one turned into a werewolf, and it's because, like, you know, there's no proof in history, but that was a pretty prevalent superstition.
Yeah.
This is making me wonder if The Cure, as in the 80s band, has anything to do with this.
I didn't think about that, mostly because I don't listen to a lot of 80s bands.
It's your mistake. Go ahead. I'll look it up.
I don't want to interrupt Amanda singing ever, because those are my favorite moments on the podcast. Also in Latin America, the werewolf curse is not connected to the myth or custom that every seventh son or seventh daughter in Argentina becomes godchild to the president. And that is factual.
Really?
If there is a seventh son or seventh daughter, they are an honorary godchild to the current president of Argentina.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
That is bizarre.
I thought I read that wrong, and then I looked it up a few more different ways, and it kept showing up. I think it probably just doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. So do you know, like, if something were to happen, is it traditional godparent? And
it said honorary, so I don't know if it's like, you notify the president, and, like, now they have a new godchild, and, like, you meet for tea once.
Right.
Or if it's like, hey, you're now bound to me forever to give me gifts and... You know, I don't know.
If something happens to my parents.
Right. Will you
live in the White House?
Right. I don't think it's a White House.
No, it's
there.
Not. Anyways.
True fact, the president of every country lives in a large White House.
It's big. It's huge.
Okay, one more country, and that's Italy. I'm going to try really hard not to butcher this. So there was a guy named Chiarallo. I'm so sorry, my Italian is non-existent. Chiarallo was the seventh son who had the power to enchant and recall snakes, and who was immune to snake venom. So children were led to Chiarallo by their mothers to get protection from snakes.
So like St. Patrick, he was a Parseltongue, obviously.
Obviously. Have we done a single podcast episode that does not have a Harry Potter reference? Because I don't think so.
I don't believe not. So.
I don't think so.
Have we had a conversation that doesn't include a Harry Potter reference?
Okay, that's it country-wise. I'm going to just kind of start jumping into some of the pop culture references.
Yeah.
And there are a lot. Okay, so the main character in the 2014 film Seventh Son was the seventh son of the seventh son.
Makes sense.
There was an episode of The Twilight Zone that was called Still Valley that had a character named Paradine who receives a book of witchcraft from an old man who claimed to be the seventh son of a seventh son.
Mm.
So some of these are just like little drop-in moments.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, like, I know what The Twilight Zone is, but I wasn't really an avid watcher.
Right.
So if any of these, like, resonate with you guys, shout out, because some of them were kind of before our time. In the Doctor Who serial, Terror of the Zygons, Angus the Landlord is a seventh son of the seventh son and has the power of second sight.
I wonder which Doctor that was. I only watched one.
See, I've never seen Doctor Who.
I've seen only Ninth Doctor forward, soft ass Terrence, which let me text him real quick.
I mean, you can't.
What do you know about the Seventh Son?
You're right.
Terrence will know, like, all of this information.
We probably need to have Terrence on speed dial for all of these. Just phone him in.
Reference. I'll phone speed dial him. You speed dial Talia, and then we'll have all the information.
We've got all our people. All five listeners. Here. In the WB series Charmed, you may recall this from our childhood, there was an episode called That Old Black Magic where the seventh son was also known as the Chosen One. I don't particularly remember that episode, but I remember that show. So the NBC soap opera Days of Our Lives, there was a character called Stefano De Mira who called himself the Phoenix due to the fact he often faked his own death and came back from the dead multiple times. He also claimed to be the seventh son of a seventh son. There's a TV series called The Storyteller in which an evil king sets out to kill the seventh son of the seventh son, who is prophesied to become king. In the 2007 movie The Seeker, a boy who is the seventh son of the seventh son is charged with saving the world before it's overtaken by darkness. And then the very famous 1940s film The Philadelphia Story, James Stewart's character calls a woman and says, "Your days are numbered to the seventh son of the seventh son." I've never seen The Philadelphia Story, but I know it's wildly, wildly famous.
Yeah.
And James Stewart is much beloved. You've seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I have heard of it. And Jimmy Stewart.
The man.
The best.
He's the man.
He's just the best.
So I actually have a few more. I stopped handwriting these when I realized, like, how lengthy these were. And I'm not going to read all of them because I know, like, these are a ton of examples.
Still funny. I'm waiting for one that I remember or recognize, but I haven't. I watched Days of Our Lives for a while, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Of course, who knows when in the story that happened either.
Well, that's all radio, television, film. These are now novels. And, I mean, you can see how long you guys listening can't see, but, like, I have pages of these, so I'm not going to read them all. I'm just kind of picked out a couple that either I recognized or I thought the girls would recognize. So in Gregory Maguire's novel Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West, Elphaba's adoptive father, Frex, is the seventh son of the seventh son. And for those of you who don't know, the musical Wicked is based on this book by Gregory Maguire. It's really, really good if you haven't read it. In The Magician, Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas Flamel by Michael Scott. Pernell Flamel, Nicholas's wife, claims to be the seventh daughter of a seventh daughter, which allows her to see and to hear ghosts.
Ooh.
That's a pretty fun little series. Yeah, there's six books in that series. It's pretty good. And then our favorite in the Harry Potter novels, Jenny Weasley is the seventh child, as J.K. Rowling drew from that old tradition of the seventh daughter of a seventh daughter and the seventh son of a seventh son. So it's a little bit of a kind of creative take on it because she's obviously not the seventh daughter, but she's the seventh child of a seventh daughter, I think, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jenny's great power was really her strength. She didn't have any supernatural ability. A few more, just kind of random ones. The English heavy metal band Iron Maiden released their seventh studio album in 1988, titled Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, and includes a song by the same title. A song by Irish rock musician Roy Gallagher, released 1973 on his third studio album, Blueprint. It's called Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, and the lyrics actually deal with a faith-healing man.
Oh, nice.
I know. And the 2003 album Elephant by the White Stripes on the song Ball and a Biscuit.
Weird.
All right. Ball and a Biscuit.
The lyrics state, "It's quite possible that I'm your third man girl, but it's a fact that I'm the seventh son." I wasn't a White Stripes fan.
You know, I never got into them.
I like them.
I think they're talented. I'm just not my kind of music.
Extremely talented.
The G.I. Joe character Crystal Ball is the seventh son of the seventh son and has limited mind reading abilities.
Mm.
I feel like if my brother ever decides he wants to download this podcast, that might mean something to him. I asked him last week. I'm like, hey, have you listened? Oh, not yet. I'm super busy. I'm like, well, me too, but I still found the time to make the podcast. Hey, Carl.
Thanks,
how you
Colin.
Doing?
Hi, Colin.
Appreciate the support. Okay, and then last couple examples, real life seventh sons of seventh sons. Okay. Abram George, a Mohawk faith healer from, I'm not even going to do them the disrespect of mispronouncing that tribe, claimed in contemporary news reports to have been the seventh son of a seventh son. So got a Native American faith healer, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The American rock musician Jack White of the White Stripes mentions that song that he is the seventh son. And he is the seventh son, but he has three sisters in between. So it's not the direct seven, but he is the seventh son. And finally, American football broadcast commentator Len Dawson self-identifies as the seventh son. He's actually the ninth child with two younger sisters. He also has two older sisters and six older brothers. So again, he is the seventh son, but it's not uninterrupted, which some of the superstition says it should be. Can you imagine having that many kids?
No.
How many boys? Mm-mm. They're poor mothers.
Mm-hmm. They're poor mothers.
I bet those women didn't sleep well.
Probably not. Or at
Tim
all.
Tim comes from a family of three boys, and I feel sorry for his mother.
So
bad.
Y'all come from a family of two girls. I feel sorry for your mother.
Fair.
She has all the fun.
It's really true.
So The Cure apparently did not get their name from this, in case anybody was wondering, as much as I was.
No, I mean, I made as much sense as anything else.
Apparently they got their name from Easy Cure, which was one of their early songs. And that was originally going to be the name, but Robert Smith didn't like it. He thought it was too, it says here, he thought it was too hippie-ish, too American and too hippie. So I think hip as in like with it, not. Okay, just scoot the mic a little closer.
I'm still trying.
Sorry.
Like when you laugh, your levels are great. And the rest of the time.
That was Amanda's laughing.
No, it was both of you.
Okay. I'll say it again.
That was Amanda.
They apparently got their name from an early song that was Easy Cure, and they just shortened it to Cure because Robert Smith didn't care for the full name. He thought it was too American.
Too hippie, too American.
Too hippish.
Mm-hmm.
How is that hippie? I don't expect you to know the answer to that question.
We're not the artist. I don't have Robert Smith on speed dial.
No? Damn.
I don't even know who Robert Smith is, so I was trying to fake it there for a minute, but I don't have it in me today.
I only assumed that it was the lead singer. I didn't know either.
So I'm not sure where I've been for this whole episode, but apparently we're talking about The Cure.
We were talking about that one topic
you brought up.
Oh, yeah. Did I host this? Well, that's it. There were a ton of other, literary references, but I thought that probably went on for long enough, and I kind of tried to grab the big ones. But I thought that was really cool, and I think that's been one of my favorite things of doing this podcast, is that other people, one, care to even listen to what we have to say, which is really overwhelming that people want to listen to us and that they subscribe and they download.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really awesome. But then, two, that they're invested enough in the topics of the podcast to suggest their own. So
yeah.
Thanks to Barry. My sister-in-law, Julie, sent me several that I'm going to cover in a future episode. I mentioned my brother-in-law, Leo. So I've got some cool new ones to cover in future episodes that are from other cultures. I mean, because the one Leo told me, I don't want to give too much away because it's a good one. But he told me that when we were visiting them in London, he told me about it. And it's from his home country of Mexico. And I just looked at him, and it's like, I had never even heard anything along those lines. Because I had heard of the Seventh Son. I just didn't know anything about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been pretty exciting.
Pretty cool. I know.
That is exciting. I'm excited for that episode.
I haven't seen a lot in my research about, where these superstitions are referenced in pop culture. So I
mm-hmm.
like how there was so much of that. I'm going to look for it on purpose now.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of cool to...
tie it into things you've seen or read or done. Or, I love a good scripted TV drama. So if I can find mm-hmm. something that ties in, I'm all on board.
I need to go back. So there's a song. Jason Boland, he's a country singer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
You've heard of him. Have you?
Once or twice.
Oh, really? Anyways, he has an entire song filled with superstition. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Heard it? It's so good. Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and listen to see, listen again since I started this podcast to see if there's any, obscure ones in there. Because literally, it's the entire song.
That's
really
awesome.
Cool. We'll have to listen to it later.
No, that's awesome. We really should.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to say was when I was with my sister-in-law, Julie. Okay, so first of all, to our family overseas, thank you for listening, because I was so shocked that you guys did listen. And then when I saw you and you were actually talking about what we had said in the episode, I knew that it wasn't just a one-time listen. I know Julie actually subscribes to this.
Oh,
I know
thanks, Julie.
And Lisa and Leo are sitting around in London and they're listening. And so that means the world.
Oh,
honestly, it means the world. But Julie got super into it. So Julie really loves superstition. And she brought this book over to her parents' house before we left. And she had bought this book on superstition, and she was just like, she was just showing it to me because we were leaving the next day. So I came home and I tried to order that same one and I couldn't find it because it was the UK one versus the,
mm-hmm.
but I bought a book that's an encyclopedia of superstition. I meant
cool.
to bring that.
Oh,
I'll
nice.
Bring it in a future one, and I'll try to also do some research on one that's tied in. So we just have another source to cite, but
yeah.
it's cool. We haven't covered this one yet, but we've all heard of the black cat crossing your path.
Right.
That's in there. So it'll just
nice.
Be another reference point for us.
Absolutely.
That's yeah.
cool.
Good
Thanks,
times.
Julie.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to
Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.